This is a Sound Rebel podcast.
To work with us on your podcast, go to soundrebel.co.uk. Over the Influence is no longer just a podcast. Our online community is buzzing with people like you.
I'm Danielle from Hertfordshire, and I'm nearly 10 months sober now. I was probably what you'd call a grey area drinker. I didn't drink all the time, but when I did, I didn't really have an off switch, and it just left me feeling low energy, low motivation, and just not really an optimal version of myself. I joined the OTI community after listening to the awesome Over the Influence podcast for quite a few months, and I've never looked back. There's Zoom calls every week on different days. You actually get to see Shaz and Ben, which is so exciting, and make that kind of community a reality and really come to life. I would highly, highly recommend joining the Over the Influence community. It was the game changer for me to feel connected in sobriety.
So if you want to join us, go to overtheinfluence.co.uk. Welcome to Over the Influence. It's marvellous to have you listening. Thank you so much. I'm going to try and keep this intro brief, and I say it every week. And I wang on, and I'm doing it again. My name's Sharon Hartley, based in Lancashire in the northwest of England. Over 4 years, alcohol-free, life-changing decision back in 2018. That is me in a very tiny nutshell. Ben Anderson, also alcohol-free. What? See?
Sorry, that's really taking me by surprise. I was not expecting to come in this early. I'll follow your lead. Hi, I'm Ben. I'm alcohol-free. 2 years. I'm a dad, new dad. I'm not as tired as I was on all the other episodes that we've been doing recently. I keep saying that at the start of every episode. Oh, God, I'm tired. I'm less tired. I got a full 6 hours sleep last night because Jem did the midnight feed.
You are delighted. Firing on all alcohol-free cylinders.
Yeah, and life's good.
I don't like these short intros. It doesn't sit well, but we'll just go with it. We'll go with it for once. It just feels really unusual, Ben.
Why are we doing it?
I don't know. We're short on time. Well, we're not short on time. That sounds terrible. Sorry, guests waiting in the wings. We're not short on time. We've just got another call at the end of this episode.
Right.
And
yes.
I don't want us to run over and to make Janet late and to make our community late.
It's non-stop, this alcohol-free life thing.
Seriously.
Isn't it? You know, you give up one thing and suddenly you just... so much stuff happening.
You think,
how did I ever have time to drink?
It's ridiculous. It is ridiculous. thank you. Thank you for tuning in. I should also say, I think we're possibly, well, one of the best alcohol-free podcasts in all of the world. But anyway, gives me great pleasure today to welcome our guest. Thank you for waiting so patiently. And I'm dead excited about this for many, many reasons. The first one being is that you're in Florida. So welcome to the podcast, Janet Fugate White. How the heck are you?
Oh my gosh, I'm doing great. I am so excited to be here. You guys have to be the best. I know. And I mean, I just can't believe your fame and how you've grown in such a short amount of time. Oh my goodness. I'm so proud.
That's just, oh, brilliant. Well, thank you so much. It's really kind of you to say so. It's lovely to have you here in my hand. Janet, I have got a copy of your book, which we will come back to in a bit, Finding Bliss Beyond the Buzz. So much to talk about. I think we'll start with the fact that you are approaching 4 years alcohol free. How's it all going, Janet? How's life alcohol free?
Oh, my gosh. Well, you know, it would be nice to say that my life became perfect when I quit drinking alcohol. But it didn't. Sorry. However, it is the best decision I ever made. I'm telling you, it's like a gift that keeps on giving. I mean, I guess so many wonderful things have happened to me and I've just changed my life completely since I quit drinking. And you say, well, is it because of the alcohol? Because it's not in your life anymore? I say, yeah. I say I wouldn't have had the courage. I would say I wouldn't have had the energy. I say I wouldn't have even been on this journey. So yeah, I do. I'm very thankful to be alcohol free. January 1st, 2023, I was you know, it'll be 4 years.
I didn't think it'd be possible to meet somebody as enthusiastic about alcohol-free
I was going to say, as musical. Like, I love it when we speak to guests in America because, I don't know, Americans just speak with this kind of musicality. Like, it's kind of like, it kind of goes up and then it kind of comes back down again. I just love it. Is that your nationality or is it your pure enthusiasm for alcohol-free life, Janet?
I think it's the enthusiastic. I mean, I've met some pretty flat Americans, let me just say. But, you know, I will say that people warned me. They said, hey, I know Chaz and I know you. And oh, my God, the two of you together on this podcast are going to be over the top.
Too much, Janet. Too much sobriety in one episode.
Bring it in. Rain it down.
It's brilliant to see you. You just look so well, so happy. Like I said, we've got a lot to talk about. I suppose we'll rewind because life wasn't always quite so, what's the word, positive, I suppose. So would you mind just taking us back to talk about your life when you were still drinking, Janet?
Yeah, so it's a journey that, you know, we all have things that have happened to us over the years. None of us are free from baggage, right? So I started out, I got married young at 19, and I probably already had some self-esteem issues, but I tell you, married somebody who was not very nice to me, and we had a lot of years together of abuse. It was a toxic relationship, very emotionally, mentally challenging and verbally abusive and sometimes physically abusive. So I had a lot of issues with self-esteem because when you're told every day that you are stupid and all the terrible things he said, it kind of gets in your head. If you already had, you know, we all have that inner critic. Well, can you imagine actually hearing those words out loud for so many years? Well, I finally got out after, unfortunately, about 25 years, but 13, 14 years ago. And that's when I started on my journey. But when I got out of the marriage, I found alcohol, my next abusive lover. So, you know, it became my comfort. I mean, you don't go from being married and having all that trauma for so long to just, hey, I'm fine. So alcohol was the perfect kind of segue to calm me down, to celebrate. Hey, I had a lot to celebrate. I was free and I was finding myself and alcohol was right there to help me. But as the years rocked on, I realized that I was probably drinking a little more than I wanted to. And things just seemed to be escalating. My sister died and, you know, the grief I was numbing with the alcohol. And I surrounded myself with people who drank as much as I did. But I was always the party girl. Oh, you all can't imagine that, can you? No, the life of the party. I was the drink pusher. Come on, one more. I wanted everybody in the room to have a shot. So let's go. And I would have never, if you'd have told me during those years that I would have quit drinking, no one would believe that I would be standing here sober. No one. So it was a long journey, but it was actually the birth of my granddaughter that made me stop and pause. She was my why. She was my, hey, are you drinking every night? Hey, what? How much are you drinking? You're not healthy. You're not able to keep your weight off. You're not able to sleep good. Your heart rate's 84, your resting heart rate. You've got all kinds of issues going on. I didn't really have any rock bottom, if you will. I mean, I had a stressful job and my family thought I was fine. In fact, when I mentioned quitting drinking, they were like, what? That's ridiculous. Don't quit. Just cut back. I'm like, the only drug people try to talk you into keeping, right? But I finally decided I would just give it a break, and I did. And man, it really changed my life.
So what changed then? How quickly, Janet?
Oh my gosh. Well, when I first stopped, it was tough. I'll have to be honest. It was very difficult because all of those raw emotions were flooding in, all the depressed grief and the all the PTSD and all the anger and all the things that I had been using alcohol to keep me numb flooded in. And I thought at first, it's a good thing I didn't get divorced or fired because I was miserable. But once I got through that, I started realizing just how much better I felt. My heart rate went down to 52. I felt like exercising again. I had more energy. Hey, I could drive wherever I wanted to go. I didn't have to worry if my granddaughter was spending the night. If she woke up in the middle of the night, I knew I'd be able to take care of her. I'd drive her wherever I needed to go. You know, I quit having diarrhea. You guys talk about diarrhea on here? I don't know. This might be a new subject for you.
How open and honest we are. So I suppose, yeah. You know, sometimes you've got to push those boundaries.
There we go. So I had a bout with cancer in 2011. And so I honestly thought that this diarrhea every day was from, you know, my residual damage from my cancer. But guess what? I quit drinking. I quit having diarrhea. So there you go. So
Janet, I love the honesty.
So I quit. You know, there was the sleep. I started sleeping better. You know, for years I had this just low level chronic fatigue. It wasn't, I got up, I went to work every day. I even went to the gym. I did things. I was busy, but I always kind of felt just a little off. You know what I mean? Just like, just tired. And I thought, well, you know, I'm in my 50s. That's what happens when you get older. You know, that's just the way it is. Guess what? No, it's not. It was the alcohol. So it changed my life. And so once I got to the point where all the raw emotions, the daily habit, all those things were pushed out of my way, started feeling better, started having more energy. I started thinking to myself, oh my gosh, if I can do this, what else can I do? So I started on my self-development journey. I became a coach. I wrote a book. I changed my career. I did all kinds of things. So yeah, it has been a game changer for me.
I can see Ben laughing. He's like, yeah.
I'm not laughing. Just smiling.
Honestly.
There are some people that you meet that just kind of, and we're doing this over Zoom, obviously, you're in Florida, yeah. But you just kind of just shine through the screen. Exactly. And I can't help but just smile along when you're talking, because obviously it's given you so much alcohol-free life. I've also been trying to think about how to phrase this, because you are, you know, you should never talk to a lady about their age. And the phrase came into mind, you can't teach an old dog new tricks. And I don't mean that, but it's
an English saying,
Ben called me a dog.
I'm digging myself a hole here.
Quick, Ben, explain.
Where I'm trying to get to is that you're a grandmother. And
yes.
It was when your granddaughter was born that you decided, right, now's the time to remove alcohol. Do you have that phrase? You can't teach an old dog new tricks in America.
Yes. It's not a positive one, Ben.
No. No, it's not. Shaz, help me.
You got a spade, Janet.
Somebody might be listening to this who's sober curious and going, yeah, but you know what? It's so entrenched. I've been doing this for so many years. It's not possible for me to change my habits, because it's literally been decades of doing this.
Yeah.
So with that person in mind, what do you say to that person? He goes, but this isn't years that I've been doing, this is now decades that I've been doing the same thing for.
Well, I tell you, you are the person I want to talk to, because it is, as we age, and I turned 60 just a couple weeks ago.
You look amazing, by the way.
I am proud to say that I made it to 60, because my mom died at 59. My sister died at 50. You know, both of my dad's parents, 43, 35. I mean, I feel like I'm on borrowed time. But, you know, I think as we age, we start to question, you know, what can we do? We know that we're against the clock, and that we are battling things, our body atrophies, and, you know, things diminish. Why would you keep doing something that's going to speed up and accelerate your aging process? We spend so much money trying to look young, trying to be healthy, and yet we're pouring down the booze, which is going completely against our health. I would say to the person, give it a try. It is the anti-aging formula. I'm not kidding. After I quit, I went to a Zumba class, and they were like, oh my gosh, Janet, did you have a facelift? I'm thinking to myself, well, first of all, you shouldn't be asking me if I did, because if I did, I wouldn't be telling you. But I didn't. I just quit drinking. So, I mean, you know, think about the age, you know, think about what it does. The blood vessels in your eyes. I mean, you get the puffiness. I mean, there's so many things, and it's not about vanity. Honestly, what I look like is the least of the positives. I mean, for my alcohol change, I feel so much better. I have so much more energy. Being able to get down on the ground with those grandbabies, I roll through the, you should have seen me. I was at the bounce house the other week. I took the kids to the park. Guess who's out there? I'm like, yep, I'm out there bouncing. You know,
I want to go to the bounce house. Ben, so did you hear fun. That?
What is the bounce house? Sorry.
Oh, snap. I keep forgetting you guys don't know half of what I'm saying over here. It is like there are these big blow up things. Like they have them for
like
kids' parties.
Yeah, maybe. Bouncy castle.
Yeah. And you yeah. climb
I to,
up.
I used to
on
have it. One. That was my first business, but it got stolen.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Bounce with Ben.
Oh,
then
gosh. Bounce with Ben.
Yeah.
It was fun, huh?
You know, it was I was 17 and I used to drop it off to kids' yeah. parties. And the moms would all be, at the beginning, all very respectful. And by the end, absolutely sloshed and really quite inappropriate, actually.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, we've talked about this on our premium podcast before, not on the main podcast. Anyway, so it's a bouncy castle for our English audience. It's,
okay, yeah.
The bounce house. But the bounce house is a better name, I must say.
And well, anyway, I was out there on the bounce house, in the bounce house, yeah. and there were a lot of grandmas on the other side, on the outside, who wouldn't even think about doing something. So, you know, life is short. And, you know, so many times we spend all these years, and I know that I did, I spent all these years trying to make other people happy, you know, staying in relationships that weren't serving me, drinking, which, you know, I thought was serving me, but in the end was not serving me, doing all the work in this stressful job so that I could earn some letters behind my name, to make a certain amount of money, to have a certain rung on the corporate ladder. And you know what? You're not living for yourself. At the end, we don't know how long we have, but it's short, and we need to go ahead and do what we love and do what we enjoy. Don't wait. We're waiting for some magic retirement day. That may not come, you know, and even if it does, you have to, I mean, enjoy today. That's okay. I just got off on was that a tangent, Ben? Did I just get on one?
I think we've gone, it's not just you that's led us down them, you know, from bounce houses
to bounce with Ben.
To bathroom habits, to all sorts.
Yes,
we've covered already.
I can see it now.
15 blooming minutes.
Yeah, I can see it now. It'll say diarrhea, bounce house, and yeah, that's don't, yeah. Please don't put that. That's my tagline. So.
I think the grandmother is the title of this episode, if you don't mind.
I love it. No, title. I am a devoted grandmother. I love spending time with my grandbabies, and I have two, one's two and one's five, two girls, and they are the light of my life. But you know what? I have a little saying that if grandma's drinking it, you can drink her drink. So, you know, it's kind of like a proud moment. You know, somebody's, you know, daddy's might have a beer, mom might have a glass of water, whatever, whoever's got what. But grandma's drink is safe. You can have a drink at grandma's. So that's kind of cool. It makes me happy. But, you know, the other thing that I tell you, our age and older. So we have these, I don't know if you guys have these here. Okay, I'm going somewhere else. Wait for it. So we have these senior citizen kind of communities. Okay, so here in Florida, they're notoriously famous here. And they just started this new brand, which is Margaritaville. Okay, so you know Jimmy Buffett with the Margaritaville, you know, you know Jimmy Buffett? Oh, he sings these songs like, why don't we get drunk and screw? I mean, you know, I'm not kidding. Yeah. This is the song. Yeah. Anyway.
Okay.
So he's, you know, it's this whole phenomenon about Jimmy Buffett and all, but it's all around alcohol. So they have these older people communities, 55 and older, they call it 55 plus communities. You have to be 55 years old to get in to buy the place. Then they have all these organized activities. And I won't even go down about the key swaps and stuff like that. I'll just talk about the alcohol. Like, they have margarita mornings. They have, you know, every Bloody Mary afternoons. I mean, everything's around alcohol. It's a cultural, it's really taken off. And more activities, at least for the older community down here, everybody drinks.
Wow.
I'm sorry. I'm a bit distracted because I'm reading some Jimmy Buffett lyrics. Please do. If you need to, you know, yeah. If you're feeling like, you know, like, for example, at the moment, I'm very tired and I feel like, have I got a good grip on life? Being a new dad, I'm very tired all the time. Have I got a grip on life? And then you read something like this. Jimmy Buffett, I blew out my flip-flop, stepped on a pop-top, I broke my leg twice, had to limp on back home, but there's booze in the blender, and it will
wasted
soon render.
Wasted away again in Margaritaville. Yeah.
Welcome home, everybody. Salt, salt, salt. Lucky we stayed. Thank you all very much. It's honestly, it's like a stream of consciousness by someone who's completely lost the plot.
Yeah.
This isn't a cul-de-sac I expected to find us down on this episode. I mean, it's amusing me no end, Janet. It really is. I don't know where to go from here, Ben. I'm actually a bit stuck for words.
Can you tell us, Janet, about the book?
Oh, yeah, I'd love to tell you about my book. I'm so excited for it. So it was kind of like a work in progress. And after, you know, I left my abusive marriage, I kind of started a little bit about 10 years afterwards. I started kind of writing and I just kind of dumped out my whole life story. And I sent it to this guy who was a friend of mine who was a PhD, and he did some editing, and he read it and he called me up and he said, I don't know that you want that to be out in the world. And I thought, oh, so I put it on the shelf. And then in the meantime, I started in my self-development journey. I started my Bliss Beyond the Buzz. I started coaching. And then I thought, oh, I know what I want to do. And so I kind of rewrote the book, this time sharing about my life story. So I give people a flavor of what I've been through. I talk about the abuse. I talk about my cancer journey. I talk about losing my mom and my sister. And then I talk about all my love relationship with my alcohol. And then I go into how I changed and why I changed and what where I am today, because it's kind of like I didn't want to just leave that, you know, here I am, here was my life. I'm not there and I'm not a victim. I am very much a happy to be where I'm at. For the first time in my life, I feel comfortable in my own skin. I feel grateful for who I am and where I am. Yeah, my life's not perfect, but I love what I do. I love, I can't say it enough. Just grateful is probably the big insignia across my chest, across the, you know, my screen is what I would say would be my take home word. And so the book kind of goes through, again, through my life story, through my challenges with alcohol, how I quit. And so it might not be for everybody, but it's how I did it. It's kind of a step-by-step. Here's what worked for me. And then here's how I dealt with that critic in my head. Here's how I dealt with all that negative self-talk about how I'm not smart enough to write a book and that no one's going to like it. And, you know, because you have to challenge all these beliefs. Otherwise, you're going to get stuck in them and you're not going to get to do anything that you really want to do. So that's what it's about. And, you know, I said if I sold one book, I didn't, you know, even if however many books I sold, but if one person read my book and said, oh my gosh, I love this book. It changed my life. Or, you know, it made a difference to me. And I've had lots of people send me messages. I had a lady not too long ago who sent me a message. She was a friend of a friend of a friend who had gotten the book. And she said, Janet, I quit drinking because of you. And I don't even know what to say. You know, I mean, how could I influence anybody who, you know, I'm just me. I'm just sharing my little story.
It's more than a little story, though. It's a fantastic story. And I want to pick up on what Ben said earlier. So you've just turned 60. And so you started your alcohol-free journey, what, 56, 57? Which is, there's no right or wrong age to start any of this, is there? That there really isn't. We have people that join our community. I'd say mostly sort of 30 and above. We've got a couple of community members that do a Young and Sober podcast episode here at Over the Influence. They're doing this in their 20s. I know so many people, Janet, doing it in their 40s and then 50s as well. And you are just this beacon of joy. Your aura, your vibe, however you want to describe it, it's like the best advert there ever is for alcohol-free life. But you've chosen to do this later on in life, and not only have you removed alcohol, you've improved relationships left, right and centre. You're now coaching. You're now a published author. And it's a saying that I've used so many times. You've lifted the lid on your own life, but age, it's not a factor, is it? It's not like, what's the bloody point? I'm pushing 60. Why would I change now? Why wouldn't you change?
Exactly. And, you know, it is just a number, because I tell you, I know for a fact that I am fitter than I was. I'm in better shape than I was at 30. I mean, I am. I go and do booty yoga. I got all kinds of things I could tell y'all. Yeah. So
what's booty yoga, please, Janet?
It's BUTI yoga. And what it is a blend of tribal moves. It's cardio. It's a lot of burpees and Pilates. And it's in a 96 degree room. It is hard. Core. I'm telling you, I'm the youngest one in the class. I mean, the oldest one in the class. So, yeah. So it's
Janet. I'm knackered just listening to you. Seriously.
Sounds naughty booty yoga, doesn't it? It sounds like it.
That's why I asked. Yeah.
Yeah. No. Yeah, sorry.
Not that booty. It's not.
No.
That
not that booty. No. No. No.
And I'm sure it probably helps.
You know, you do shake it a little bit. I'll just say. Yeah. Whoops.
We're just going to take a very quick break from this episode of Over the Influence. I knew, Ben, I absolutely knew that we would get on with Janet, and she's just an absolute bundle of sober fun. She's like a ray of sunshine. Mm. Really, really enjoying today's chat.
We are speaking to American You, aren't we? My head's a bit mashed.
Are you okay?
I'm enjoying it.
Hon? Are you okay?
I'm enjoying it. Yeah. Just to clarify, we record these little drop-in bits after the main interview, so Janet doesn't know that I've just said that my head's smashed. But it is a little bit. She'll find out when she listens. I'm thoroughly enjoying it though, Janet. I really am. But it's just, yeah, there's two Shazzes on this call. Alcohol for life. Isn't it brilliant? Isn't it fantastic?
Yeah, one with a northern accent, a very strong Lancashire accent, and another with an amazingly beautiful American accent. And so much of what Janet shares as well, it's just like listening to myself, you know, talking. Yeah. When I first started out, it's been a joy, and it will continue to be a joy, because we will be back with Janet, much more to come on this episode of Over the Influence. Very quickly, let's just have a quick mention about our community, Ben.
Well, there's two C words we need to mention, aren't there? Community being the first one. What's the second one, Shaz? Because if you're listening to this on the day of release, December starts on Thursday. Christmas is on its way, and it's a lot of a lot of conversation, a lot of chatter in our community about Christmas at the moment, isn't there?
All the C's. Mm. Yeah, there's loads of questions, loads of support. I think for many people as well, the anxiety sort of begins now. It begins in November when people start saying, oh, what are you doing for this? Work's due here. Drinky poo's here. You know, yeah. Early doors on this Saturday here. And people are like, oh, God, what do I do? And I know how hard it can be navigating that first Christmas alcohol free. And we say this all the time within our community. Stick your head in there. You'll soon find out that you're not on your own. And not only that, it's not about surviving it. It's not about clinging on. It's actually really enjoyable. There's so much support in there, Ben. Cannot wait for an AF Christmas.
Are you going to be wearing your festive AF jumper that we've ordered, Sharon? Well, oh, yeah. Over the Influence Christmas jumpers are on their way.
As if AF or all of it. I'm just really, really excited. And I'm loving the colour scheme. I'm just...
Yes.
It's very OTR.
For your bright orange.
Very
OTR. If you fancy a bright orange jumper, coming to overtheinfluence.co.uk/shop very soon. we should say, though, if you're listening to this, and we know thousands of people listen to this podcast every single week. In fact, thousands of people listen on the day it's released, which is just bonkers. But if you're one of those people and you are alcohol free, but you're not part of our community, and you think that actually you really want to be alcohol free at Christmas, but you're a bit worried about this, a bit worried about that, then the first thing you can do is join our community. And honestly, Chaz, you're doing a Christmas Day Zoom, aren't you? So on Christmas morning. So it's Christmas morning UK time, which is nighttime for the Aussies. We're going to try and get another one sorted for later on in Christmas Day for the Americans yes. as well, so that they can join. Not guaranteed yet, but we're going to try our best. But you're doing a Christmas Day morning Zoom, aren't you?
I did this last year, and it was so, so nice. And it was basically just an excuse for us all to get together over Zoom wearing, I was going to say, a crap jumper, obviously an OTI branded Christmas jumper this year, looking very smart, a festive hat, bring a brew, maybe an AF fizz or an AF drink of your choice, and just have a quick chat ahead of the day, you know, iron out any worries you might have, reassure our members that it's going to be okay, have a battle plan, you know, just chewing the alcohol-free festive fat on Christmas morning. It's one of my favourite Zooms. It's just lovely. You know, we don't take too long, 45 minutes an hour. Wear a party hat, bring a cracker, and yeah, really, really looking forward to it.
And all you got to do if you want to spend your Christmas morning with Sharon Hartley, Queen of Sobriety, is join our community, overtheinfluence.co.uk. All the information's there. And we hope to see you in the run-up to Christmas, because you know Zooms are happening all the time. We've got Zooms every single day of the week, and they are by far my favourite part of the whole OTI community offering. Like, they're just so good, and it's so lovely to see people, I say face-to-face, Zoom-to-Zoom, and just kind of all support each other as we run up to what is a particularly boozy time of year. Right, shall we get back to the episode with Janet, a.k.a. American Chaz?
Poor Janet.
Right, let's bring this to... I'd like to thank Kelly, our community member who's watching the recording today, for bringing it back to some serious alcohol-free talk. I mean, look, we love going off on the tangents. We love having a laugh. Of course we do, because alcohol-free life is joyful, isn't it? But you know what? There's some really... I think maybe we skipped over some parts of your story that we should come back to, Janet, if you don't mind. You mentioned at the start, this is what Kelly said, you mentioned at the start that some emotions came to the surface when you stopped drinking. And of course, you know, how often do we talk about this, Chaz? You know, either on the podcast or in the community. That's actually, can be one of the most difficult things about removing alcohol, isn't it? That,
yeah.
You know, the feelings that you drank to escape, suddenly you've got to confront them head on. Anyway, Kelly carries on. Do you remember how long that lasted for? How long was the time period between when you removed alcohol and when you were truly free from those suppressed emotions that resurfaced? What an excellent question, Kelly. Janet, over to you.
So I have to say that my journey was not just a January 1st, 2019, and boom, I quit and I never drank again. In 2018, I actually quit for 28 days, white knuckled through, and then went right back to drinking just as much as I had. I had tried probably, my grandbaby was born in 2017, so I had probably tried already a year and a half to do it on my own, you know, just to moderate, to cut back, and it wasn't working. So that's why I did this. But when I finally made the commitment in January of 2019, I threw myself in, all or nothing kind of girl that I am. I'm not going to drink for 90 days. And that was all I wanted, was 90 days. But I started, you know, I joined a tribe that of like-minded people who, you know, I posted a lot and got encouragement from. I read all the Quit Lit. I went to therapy. I did everything that I could possibly do to deal with these, because I'd say the first 90 days probably were a roller coaster ride. I was angry. I was upset. I would have mood swings. I would be crying one day. I was very frustrated. You know, my husband drank and he still does. everybody around me. I mean, think about your circle. When you're drinking, you always surround yourself with people that drink. So here, everybody that I know and love is drinking except me. And so it was, I felt very deprived and frustrated. Why can't I be like them? Why can't I just have a drink and just one? Why do I always want more than one? Why does I have to drink it every day? I mean, you know, it was just, I knew my relationship with alcohol was not like everybody else's. A lot of people drank as much as me, but for me, the fact that I couldn't just stop and not drink anymore was not acceptable. And so having to put myself into this situation to where I'm not going to drink anything for this period of time, the emotions came, the grief, I cried and cried. I thought, I didn't know if I was going to get through it, but I'd say at the 90-day point, it kind of got a little bit better. I say that it was actually day 172. I don't know why. Don't ask me how it became 172, but I think it was day 172. And I knew that I, you know, 90 days wasn't enough because at the end of 90, I still was craving alcohol. I knew I wanted to drink. So I knew, I figured I needed a little more time. So I signed up for the 1 year. So I'm like, yeah, I can do a whole year. Okay. Why did I do this to myself? And then I'm sitting in the hot tub and, you know, my husband has a vodka drink. It's a Bloody Mary. Thank God I don't like Bloody Marys. If you had red wine, it would have been probably much more difficult. But anyway, I had my water. We're sitting in the hot tub. And all of a sudden, I realized I'm not jealous. I'm not craving alcohol. I feel good. And it was like when the benefits started coming. You know, I had already been sleeping better. People were already saying, gosh, you look different. I was already feeling some of the benefits. But I think it was many days into it that I started really noticing that my moods were leveling off. So I don't know if that answers the question. I'd say probably the first 90 days are really, really challenging. Maybe not so much for some, maybe easier for some, maybe harder for some. But I think if you're using it to medicate and you're using alcohol to stop the grief, guess what? When you stop using alcohol, it's going to come forward. It's just going to. And what do you do to deal with it then? You have to hit those emotions head on, and it can be hard.
I mean, you were talking earlier and, you know, you said something, life comes at you and you never quite know what to expect. Did you mention PTSD following that relationship?
Yeah, yeah.
Is that something that, does that always stay with you? You know, in terms of removing alcohol, does removing alcohol help you to deal with something like that? Does it help you to rationalize it? Or is that something that is you can never truly heal?
Well, I think, honestly, time heals most things, right? I mean, if you think about anything that's happened to you, whether it's been a broken bone or a broken heart or any kind of thing that happens, time tends to soften it and ease it, especially when you get away from it. But alcohol, to me, it doesn't really take it away. It just makes you forget about it for a temporary, for a little bit. And for me, I think I had stuffed enough of it down that I didn't want to live through it again. I didn't want to think about it. So when I quit drinking, it started coming back. And I think writing the book was, you know, therapeutic. And I think it helped kind of get some of that out, and it's over, and I don't have to live like that anymore. And so I think that's one of the big lies of alcohol. And as we realize what it does to our bodies, it's a complete opposite of what we use it for. So, I mean, I'm a nurse. I should know better. Why would you think that a depressant is going to make you feel better? Why would you think that putting these chemicals in your body that are going to have to be detoxed by the liver is going to make you feel less anxious? It's not. It does the exact opposite. But our society is so strong on alcohol. Just, it's the social fix. It's the stress fix. It's for everything. And I grew up in that culture.
takes so much unlearning, doesn't it? It doesn't happen overnight. And like you were saying there, your story is just, it just resonates so much with myself, Janet. When you talked about those first 3-4 months, I just thought, oh God, this is awful. Life's never going to be enjoyable again. It's going to be so, so difficult. And oh, Kel Surprise, guess what happened? Actually, it's a crock of shit. It all changes. It really does. And then the further you go, the more you learn and you realise that, oh my God, I've wasted how many years? How many years believing the bull, believing the hype? And it becomes the polar opposite, doesn't it, of everything you ever knew. And before we got on this chat with you today, myself and Ben were recording our premium podcast episode, and we were talking about the fact that it sounds so obvious, but you only know this and learn this by doing it. So you can't do it half-assed, can you? You talked about being that sort of person before. You can't do it by just drinking on that occasion and just drinking on this occasion in order to experience the absolute joy that you've talked about and that we share so vocally and over the influence. You've got to go all in. You've got to give yourself that chance, and you will be so surprised at where it takes you and how life can be without alcohol playing such a central part in it.
Yeah, I think, you know, for me, it was a very much a central part of my life. And it's interesting just even thinking about where we've kind of gone from the giddy, happy joy back to my, you know, struggles and trials. And it's kind of good because you can see where I was and where I am now. But thinking back about that, I was that person. I say it in jest about being the person who was the drink pusher or whatever, but I had every Christmas, I was the one who got all the paraphernalia. Everybody always bought me wine. It was just my shirts. You know, think about silly things, but like my closet had, you know, you had me at Merlot. I had those flip-flops you wear to the beach that said, follow me, bring wine. I had the wine cooler. I had my whole world. I never went to the Cracker Barrel. You guys might not know what the Cracker Barrel is, but they didn't serve wine and beer. So for years, I wouldn't go to the Cracker Barrel in the evening because I couldn't have my wine or beer. So it's
got such a satisifying name as well, the Cracker Barrel.
It just reminded me of a strong cheddar. That there was a cheddar available in the UK, and you've just given me this memory, and it was in a red wrapper, and I'm sure it was called Cracker Barrel cheese.
It was
bloody delicious. But anyway, that's another story.
Yeah. So anyway, you go from that, all your friends, your whole life, everything you do kind of revolves around alcohol. And although it sounds like, oh my gosh, you must have been an alcoholic, not at all. I mean, I absolutely would never classify myself as an alcoholic. I got up every morning. I went to a very stressful job. In fact, in the healthcare industry, so many of us in these high stress, high position drink a lot. Go to a doctor's recruitment dinner. Let me tell you how much we drink. It's something, it's like almost like the high achievers and the people who have those stressful jobs are the ones who drink the most. And it's acceptable. It's okay. We all do it. But when you realize that you want to take a break or you want to step out of that society and you want to make a change, you really feel isolated. I mean, I am so thankful for people like y'all and, you know, people that are making it okay to be sober. You know, it's been in the past that you were ostracized and I remember thinking there's no way I'll ever go to another dinner. There's no way I'll ever go to another bar. There's no way I could ever. And it does get better and things do change. But you know what? There were a lot of months that I couldn't go because I knew I couldn't be in that circle right then. It takes time. So I love what you said, Shaz. I'll call you Sharon Shaz.
Like, I'll put it together.
But I love what you said about how, you know, it's that period of time that it is rough. And a lot of people don't want to get past that. And just cutting back doesn't open up this. I mean, you can say, oh, well, I only drink every other weekend. Oh, I only drink on, you know, two beers, you know, a night. Or, oh, I'm not like you. I didn't drink like you do. Okay, that's fine. But you wouldn't know how different your life could be if you completely take a break. And that sounds like I'm being elitist, like, oh, yeah, you think you've got something better than me. But I tell you, try it. Just try it, because it is different. It's different than moderation. It's different than drinking. Our body, if you go into the science of our body and what it does, you know, think about even your metabolism, your sleep patterns, your heart rate, your skin, your liver. I mean, just cancer risks. There are so many benefits to alcohol free, but just that feeling that, you know, when you see us all talking and laughing, and you probably didn't see us doing it day 10. So I'm just saying.
Yeah. Wasn't quite as joyful in those early days, was it, Janet? Let's be honest.
Janet, I'd like to finish by asking you about coping mechanisms and kind of healthy coping mechanisms. Any tips that you can give about that? Because, you know, you're a nurse. I always feel like one of the things that we never do on Over the Influence, or at least I hope we never do, is we never judge someone for drinking, because you never know someone's reasons why they are drinking. When it comes to things like, you know, living in a violent home, drinking is a coping mechanism. I can completely understand. For us, you realise what a kind of privileged position that you're in when you realise that actually, okay, I was drinking for stress, but it was stress that I'd kind of brought on myself, and I'd made choices that got me to that point. If somebody's in a situation that maybe isn't of their doing, and they are having to deal with a difficult environment that they're within, what can they do rather than turn to alcohol?
Well, I do think that it's easier said than done. And I think that it's, I love what you just said, that, you know, there absolutely is no judgment. And I think for me, some of the things that really helped me were finding people to be in a group with that understood. You can share sometimes on a personal level, and people have been there. It's shocking to me how many people tell me, oh my gosh, Janet, I went through something similar. I resonate with your story. So I think being able to share, because one of the secrets and one of the things that keeps us in these unhealthy relationships, whether it's with people or alcohol or whatever it is thinking that we're alone, that we're the only ones experiencing it. So finding a safe source and sharing is very, very healthy. Exercise has been a godsend. Now, I am not a runner. I know a lot of people get into these marathons and Spartas or whatever, and I've seen you get your medals and stuff shared, but I'm not a runner. But, you know, find something that you enjoy, something for a release, booty yoga maybe, or I went to a bungee class the other day. There's trampoline classes. There's pound classes. Find something, sometimes just that release of energy in a physical way. You know, we see kids and we watch what they do. They run, they play, they jump, they swing, they're doing all those things. And we tend to stop when we become adults, and we just hold in all of that energy and all of that. So find something physical that you can do as an outlet. And then, of course, you know, I think you have to say this, the AF alternatives are good, doing something different. The biggest thing that helped me when I was in the early days was changing it up. I absolutely was triggered every time I walked in the door after work and started dinner, because that's when I opened my bottle of wine. I had to do something completely different for quite a few nights. Some nights I went to bed at 8:30 just to get through. So those are some tips, but there's a million things out there. Just make, if you want to try it, make the commitment and find something else to do for that trigger period.
Janet, thank you so much. It's been an absolute pleasure to meet you over Zoom to chat, and thank you for sharing some really personal stuff with us on the podcast. It's much appreciated. Your book, Finding Bliss Beyond the Buzz, and I love the little sort of strap line beneath it, From Abuse and Alcohol to Sobriety and Serenity. I've seen it online. You can get that at Amazon. And of course, what we've not had time to really talk about is your coaching as well. So if anybody wants to find out more about what you do, Janet, where can they find that info?
It's Bliss Beyond the Buzz. If you can remember Bliss Beyond the Buzz, it's a Facebook page, it's a website, and it's Instagram. And I just started a new group, The Blissful Bunch. So blissful, blissful, blissful.
The Blissful Bunch. Crikey. Sounds absolutely fantastic. Janet, it really has been a pleasure. Thank you so much for joining us on Over the Influence.
Thanks for having me. You guys are great. Keep doing what you do.
At the risk of sounding like a complete stuck record, Ben, I know I say this week in, week out, it's because it is true. What a brilliant episode of Over the Influence. Really, yeah. Really enjoyed that chat with Janet. And it's what it's about, isn't it? Week in, week out, our guests from wherever they are in the world, whatever their story, they share. They're vulnerable, they're honest, they're inspiring, they overshare. And I think a lot of the time, most importantly, we have a flipping good laugh while we're doing it.
Yeah.
That was brilliant. Really, really enjoyed it. Janet, thank you. And I know Ben enjoyed it too. Poor Ben, actually. He said it was like having two Sharons, one from Lancashire and one from Florida.
Well, you know what I was going to say next is what a lovely lady she was. And Sharon, that's exactly how I feel about you as well. What a lovely lady.
A lady.
But yeah, she's a really lovely lady. And I love it when people just, you know, open up like that and they've got, you know, no worries about kind of going, no, I'll answer exactly what you've asked in a really honest way. I mean, you know, bowel habits, very honest. I wasn't expecting that bit.
Yeah, I think diarrhea is a first on Over the Influence. But it's not the first time I've heard about it, to be honest.
It definitely is a first for this podcast. Anyway, shall we just quickly recap? It is Christmas on Thursday, if you're listening to this on the day of release. And we know that Christmas can be, it's the most wonderful time of the year. Alcohol free,
Ben,
but also it can.
I'm sorry to interrupt, and I realise that you are new dad tired. It's not Christmas on Thursday. It's December.
No, it's December.
Okay, it's December on Thursday. But we can let
tired.
This go because I know you've got a lot on.
It's
lot of
December
night
on Thursday. The Christmas period properly kicks
it.
Off.
That's
there
it.
We go. Who am I? What is my name? What am I saying next?
Okay.
But yeah, sorry, that's what I was saying, is that it's wonderful and doing Christmas AF is fabulous, but we also know it can cause a bit of anxiety in the run-up to it. You know, you're doing something different to what you'd normally do potentially on Christmas. If you need that connection, if you want some of that support, then overtheinfluence.co.uk. But we forgot to mention, Shaz, we're also this time next week, if you are a premium podcast subscriber,
And
you've already listened to the premium podcast this week, you'll know that next week we are doing our Christmas Q&A. Any questions, any worries, anything you want to know at all about what it's like to do an alcohol-free Christmas, that is what our premium podcast is all about this time next week. So if you've not subscribed to that yet, you can do. It's £5 a month and it's every single week without fail. It's kind of like the main episode, but it's just me and Shaz. There's no guest. And we kind of feel like it's our safe place. We're not on our best behaviour, so we just talk about anything and everything.
Like anything.
yeah. But if you want to subscribe to that, go to overtheinfluence.supercast.com. That's overtheinfluence.supercast.com. You sign up on that page, it sends you an email, and then you basically press a few buttons and OTI Premium Podcast will appear in your normal podcast app. So have a go. It's great, if we say so ourselves. Christmas Q&A next week.
We say this all the time. Talking of that Christmas Q&A, we have already invited our members to submit a question questions. There's loads already. And it did cross my mind to say, right, if you're listening to this now and you would like to ask us a question that we can answer on this special Christmas Premium Pod, which obviously you need to subscribe to in order to listen, or you might already be a community member, in which case you already get it. However, I'm a bit concerned that we might get like 500,000 questions and I don't think we'd have enough time to answer them all.
You know, I think we should if it's a 3-hour episode next week.
that's a lot, Shaz and Ben. It's a lot.
Well, and I think we should also get some of our kind of listeners and community members sending in their voice notes and appearing potentially on. It's going to be great. It's going to be a great episode if you want to hear it. The premium podcast, overtheinfluence.supercast.com. And of course, when you subscribe, you don't just get all the new episodes, you get the entire back catalogue of premium pods. Hours and hours and hours of premium alcohol-free content, most of the time.
Yeah, comes with a slight disclaimer, most of the time, and it's mostly premium. If you've got a question you'd like to ask myself or Ben about all things AF Christmas, drop us an email, OTIHQ@overtheinfluence.co.uk. As always, it's been a pleasure. See you next week.